The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I'm honored to speak to you this morning on this topic of Christian grieving. When we get there, let's all read it together out loud, if you would, please. So everyone looking, everyone reading, let's read this together. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Together. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. One more time, let's read that together. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. This verse clearly says there should be something different about when a Christian grieves and when a non-believer grieves. So the question for our time this morning is, what makes Christian grieving unique? What makes Christian grieving different? How would we grieve over a person that we lost, who we know is saved? And how would we grieve over a person who we don't know if they're saved or not? We may believe they're lost. So that's the topic this morning. And I want you to notice three considerations from the passage. These are basic, three considerations from this passage. First of all, we notice from the passage the reality of death. The reality of death. The passage assumes the reality of death. Now, notice in the verse that Paul uses the word sleep in relation to a believer's death. He says that I would not want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Asleep. So he uses the word sleep or asleep as a euphemism for death. Why? Because a believer's death is not dreadful or final. Their body goes into the ground and their body decays. But someday God will resurrect that body. So it's temporary. The body will be resurrected someday and reconstructed to a perfect, mature state, and that's the eternal state. When a believer dies and goes to heaven, they have some corporal reality, they have a physical form, but their physical body on earth will someday be resurrected and they'll be restored to that body in a perfect state. And so he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be fully informed. For us today, he would be saying, I don't want you to be biblically illiterate. Young people, our life in this earthly existence is short. The afterlife, eternity, is forever. It's forever. A million years, it's just getting started. 2 million years, it's just begun. And so this is the most important part of our existence, the afterlife. And so he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the afterlife. In fact, I would propose to you this morning, you can't truly live this life until you're prepared to die. You can't truly live this life until you're prepared to die. And you know what's coming after this earthly existence. And so we understand the reality of death. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We will all face the reality of death unless we go up in the rapture. Amen. We're still holding out for that. But unless we go up in the rapture, we're all going to face the reality of death. Now, back in 2019, Pastor Redland asked me to put together a program we call Healing Hearts. We had death after death after death in our church family. And he said, Pastor Zach, would you please put together some material in a program so we could help those that are grieving? And it's honestly, we have Healing Hearts tonight at 6:30 at the Mullinex Chapel. We've been doing that since 2019. We have 9-week sessions in the spring and in the fall. It's one of the most challenging things I do in ministry here at Campus Church. It's one of the most rewarding things I do. One of the most challenging because I hear the tragic stories and I'm trying to comfort people that are going through dreadful things. And so we've had people that have lost babies, infants, couples that have lost infants. We had one lady who came who lost a twin daughter, one of the twins. We have people that lose spouses. In our Healing Hearts tonight, we have a few that have lost spouses recently. We have PCC students that have lost their parents. We have students who are there even tonight who've lost friends, some to suicide. And so these are tragic stories. Death is dreadful. And we can't escape it. We can't escape it. We don't like to think about it. Just bringing the topic up this morning is challenging. But it's around us everywhere. And we're going to face it. When I was a pastor in Connecticut, I had this amazing day. It was an amazing day. I was called to the hospital where this young couple, soon to be parents, were about to have a baby. And so I was called to be there for them when they were having the baby. And then also, I was called to a funeral home because a family in our church, a lady lost her father, and so they were having the viewing hours. So I looked, I Googled, you know, the locations, I looked on the map, and amazingly, the funeral home was across the street from the hospital. And so I went to the hospital first, and I met with this young couple, and the lady was there, and I was talking, and it became clear that, to me at least, what do I know, but it became clear that I thought, well, it's going to be a long time before she has this baby. She looks pretty comfortable. It's going to be a long time. So I said, hey, I'm going to go across the street, spend some time with this grieving family, and I'll come back, okay? And so I'll be back. Just give me an hour or so. And so I walked out in the hallway. I'm walking down the hallway. And then while I'm at the end of the hallway, these nurses rush by me. Little did I know that right after I left, she had the baby, okay? She was just waiting for me to get out of the room, okay? So I leave the hospital, though. So I leave the hospital, this bright, you know, hospital location. And I go to the funeral home across the street. And you know what funeral homes are like. And I walk in there, and there's a somber mood. And there's the man in the casket and the grieving family. And so I walk up. I pray with the family. I sit there for at least half an hour. And then I talk to them again. And I said, I'll be here tomorrow for the funeral. And so I believed that my duties there were accomplished. And so I said, okay, and I'm going to go back across the street. So I left the funeral home, go back across the street to the hospital, and the baby had just been born. So I walk in the nursery and see this newly born baby. What an amazing day. I was afforded in that day the life-changing experiencing of witnessing life's beginning and life's end in one afternoon. And I think there was something emblematic about that experience. As it relates to time and space, life and death are only a few short steps away. In fact, I would propose this morning. I know it's a hard thought, but the moment we began living, we also began dying, in a sense. The moment we began living, we also began dying, in a sense. We're under the curse of sin. Our body is wearing out. There's an eventual date on the calendar with our name on it. And so it's a part of life. It's a part of life. The truth is that the death of any person is tragic because their life contains a degree of divine likeness and spiritual essence, and therefore it's significant and sacred. The tragedy of death is only diminished by the affirmation that the God who gave life on earth certainly has the right to determine the limits of that existence. When life ceases for any individual, it's according to his perfect design and righteous end. If we can praise the Lord for life, we can praise the Lord in death. We don't praise the Lord for death, but if we can praise him for life, we can praise him in death. Job did. Now, he started well. He struggled later, but at least he started well. And by the way, one of the reasons why Job is in the Bible is because nobody can compete with that. Nobody can compete with that. You say, I have it bad. You look at Job and you go, well, that's worse. Job lost everything. He lost all his possessions. You know the story. He lost his children. His wife was left, and she was not a comfort to him. And then he lost his good health and had these awful boils on his body. So Job under in this situation, when he faced the death of his children and he faced so many losses in his life, what did he say? Job 1:21, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Then he added, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what Job was saying? Job was saying, it's the blessing of God that made the loss a loss. Sometimes in our losses in life, we forget that. Every perfect gift comes from God. Every good thing in our lives comes from God. Sometimes we lose those things, but it was the blessing of God that made the loss a loss. And if all we do is focus on the fact that the Lord has taken away, we're not going to have the right perspective. We should say, like Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One of the hardest funerals I went to was a funeral of an 8-year-old girl who had a brain aneurysm. Her family was going to a restaurant. She's stepping out of the door of the car. She drops dead in the parking lot at 8 years old. I went to the funeral. I tried to console the family as best I could. They were inconsolable. And so I went at a later time, a couple months after the funeral. You know what I said to them? I said it gently. I said it after I'd listened to them and sat there for a long time and tried to relate with their grief and empathize and sympathize. But I said at the end, please don't forget, it was the blessing of God that made the loss a loss. You were blessed with this little girl for 8 years, and that was the blessing of God. See, we will not have the proper perspective of life and death until we understand that. So we see from the passage that Christians have that perspective. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. You should have this perspective and you will think differently about death. You won't sorrow as those that have no hope. So we see the reality of death. Number two, I think this is an important point from the passage. We see the right to grieve. The right to grieve. When we speak of grief, what are we speaking of? Everybody knows, but let's just remind ourselves. It's a profound sense of sadness that comes at a time of adversity and loss in your life. And it might be the loss of other things besides an individual in your life. You grieve at the loss of your health. I've been there. You grieve at the loss of a relationship. You may grieve at the loss of a job or grieve at the loss of a dream. Your ideal vision of what your life will be is gone. It's gone. And you grieve at the loss of a dream in your life. So the emotional pain that comes as a result of tragedy and adversity in life is grief. It's grief. And it's common and it's understandable. I want you to never forget this. This is what the Bible teaches on this subject. Sadness is not sinful in itself. We just can't let our sad go bad. There's nothing wrong with being sad. Sadness isn't sinful. We just can't let our sadness turn to self-pity, bitterness, anger against God, depression. Don't let your sad go bad. Draw on your spiritual resources. You're a believer. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God that tells you about the afterlife. You have the comfort of God through the fellowship of believers, the Holy Spirit inside of you, His Holy Word. Take those spiritual resources. Take those spiritual resources to give you comfort. Sadness is not sinful. Just don't let your sad go bad. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13 again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. We talked about that. That you sorrow not, comma. There's more to that. We may be tempted to end the sentence there. God is not saying don't be sad. In fact, if you lost somebody close to you in your life, you should be sad, and you may be sad the rest of your life. In fact, that is totally understandable. Waves of grief may come over you the rest of your life. Waves of sadness may come over you because of the loss of that loved one the rest of your life. You say, I'm a Christian. Shouldn't I stop grieving now? That's nowhere in the Bible. That is nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God saying to people who are grieving, stop that. Stop that. Time's over to grieve. Don't do that anymore. Why are you crying? Nowhere. In fact, here's what we find in the Bible. Grieving is normal and expected. In Bible times, people would grieve overtly. They would weep publicly. They'd put ashes on their head. They'd wear sackcloth or uncomfortable clothing to accentuate their sadness. Yes, and then they would grieve. Nowhere in the Bible does God denounce that. Nowhere in the Bible does God deter that demonstrative grieving. In fact, God seems to encourage it. Nowhere does God say in his word, or does he even imply, what are you doing? Stop that. Nowhere. I find this interesting. You'll find some characters in the Bible who moved on. I don't want to use that term. Excuse me, please. Forgive me for that. We don't move on. But move forward. Nowhere do you see people move forward. Nowhere in the Bible do you see them move forward from their grief and God say, you know, oh, that's good. Now you were sinning before. Now you're doing well. No. Some moved forward quickly. Some grieved long periods. In fact, you see these formal grieving periods that are interesting in the Bible. Jacob, when he died, there was a formal grieving period of 70 days, and then his family grieved another 7 days. This is where they stopped. They said, you can stop other functions and just grieve for 77 days. Nowhere in the passage does God say, hey, stop that. That's too long. Joseph and his family mourned 77 days. Israel grieved over Moses for 30 days. Nowhere in the Bible does God designate a proper period for grieving. In Ecclesiastes 3:4, Solomon said, there's a time to grieve, but he never says how long it is. In fact, I believe this, if you are really close to the loved one you lost, you'll probably be sad the rest of your life. People come into Healing Hearts, and I say that up front. And they look at me like, Moak, I came here, you know, I thought I came here to Healing Hearts to stop being sad. No, that's an unrealistic expectation. We're just helping you to make sure your sad doesn't go bad. Nowhere does God say stop grieving. God doesn't tell us to stop being sad. He tells us to move forward with hope and purpose. That's what God wants. Us to move forward in life with hope and purpose. And by the way, when you do that, you are giving honor to the person you lost. I hope you heard that. Not only are you acting in faith when you move forward with hope and purpose, but you're giving honor to the person you lost. You are carrying on their legacy in a positive way when you do that. When you sulk in self-pity and become depressed, I can empathize with that. I understand that. Please understand my heart. But when you do that and you get angry at God, you're not showing honor to God or the person you lost. And so God would want us to go forward with hope and purpose. So that leads to the last point. We see in this verse the reality of death. We see the right to grieve. Last of all, we see the reason for hope. What is the reason for hope? Heaven is the reason for hope. Heaven is the reason for hope. As I'm praying in my office after studying this morning, okay? I'm praying in my office about 9:40. I get done with my prayer for the message this morning, praying for you, praying for the message, praying for myself. I get into my car and there's a song, this upbeat song on Rejoice Radio about heaven. I mean, it was like God had that song for me, and it lasted all the way from my drive from the office to here. It was about our wonderful home, our reunion in heaven, We sing about it constantly. I had another wonderful, poignant experience. Maybe not wonderful, but poignant experience as a pastor in Connecticut. Two people died in our church. One was a man who came infrequently. His wife was saved, but we believe he was lost. And he would just, because his wife said, come to church, he would show up now and then. And I sat with her at hospice and watched him breathe his last breaths. At the same time, we had a man in our church who was a faithful Christian, had a great testimony, was the treasurer of our church. He passed away at the same time, near the same time. And I went to the hospital with he and his wife. I was there with his wife, and I didn't see him breathe his final breaths. I knew when I left the hospital that that was my last visit, and he died during the night. The mood in both rooms were so stark and different. The mood at both funerals were different. At the believing man's funeral, it was about an hour of eulogies. It was one after another. His children, friends, co-workers, fellow believers, church members getting up and talking about this man. And all during the funeral, there was this overarching sense of forward focus. He's in heaven now. We're going to see him someday. And it was uplifting and encouraging. It was a celebration. At the other man's funeral, it was sad. Yes, people eulogized him, but it seemed like everyone was desperately trying to hold on to something. It was all backward focused. They were all desperately seeking to find solace in reminiscing about time gone by. What's the difference? We all know the difference. We all know the difference. The hope of heaven, the hope of heaven, the confident assurance that when you take your last breath, you'll be in the presence of God. That is priceless. That's priceless. To know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven is priceless. Look what Paul says in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We have hope. We have a confident expectation of eternal life because of Jesus and his resurrection and the many infallible proofs that go with it and his eternal word that we have in our hands today. We have a confident expectation of eternal life. You say, Pastor Zach, but where is the hope in the death of someone who showed no fruits of salvation? That's a good question. And I don't know if I can answer it fully. I have a few short answers for you. First of all, there's hope in the fact that we know that our God will always do what's right. God will always do what's right. Also, we have hope that a person may have received Jesus at some point in their life, even up to their final moments on the earth. You'd have to see the whole context of a person's life to know if they were truly a Christian. They could be severely backslidden. They could have received Jesus and backslid in their life, or simply they could. Now listen, they could in the final moments of their life trust Jesus in their head before they take their final breath. And I always hold out hope for that. One more story. A family asked me to speak to their loved one who was in the hospital dying. Said, Pastor Zach, would you go speak to him? We've given him the gospel. Would you try one more time? And so I'll never forget this. I went in the hospital room and the man was laying there and he had a breathing apparatus, something in his mouth. He couldn't talk. And he was staring straight ahead. And I got in front of him and I said, and I could tell he was looking at me. And I said, you can hear me and understand what I'm saying, right? Shake your head. And he shook it like this. I said, your family told me to come in here and give you the gospel of Jesus Christ one more time. Do you know what I'm speaking of? Do you know what the gospel is? And he said, yes. I said, let me share it with you one more time. Would you just listen one more time? And I went through it with him. And I went all the way to the end. And I said, would you acknowledge your sinful condition before God and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you believe what I'm saying? Would you shake your head? He said, yes. I said, you could pray right now in your heart and receive Jesus. I said, the prayer doesn't save you. The words exactly don't save you. It's the heart of faith. But the words help to express the heart of faith, and I'll help you with the words. I'll pray, and you pray the same thing in your head. Would you do that? And he shook his head. And so I bowed my head, and I prayed the sinner's prayer. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I looked up, and I said to him, did you do that? Did you pray that prayer? And a tear came down his cheek, and he shook his head. I said, I look forward to seeing you in heaven, brother. I went out in the hall to comfort the family. I was talking with them. They were celebrating. And then the nurse came and said, you better go back in the room. I don't know how long it was. We went back in the room. I prayed a prayer, and while I was praying, he flatlined. He passed from this life to the next, and I have no doubt I will see that man in heaven. He trusted Jesus in his final breaths. And you never know. You never know. If a person has heard the gospel, the thief on the cross did it right. No opportunity for good works, no opportunity to join a church, be baptized. And he said, will you remember me when you go into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be with me in paradise today. So what's our conclusion this morning? Since as believers, we have a proper perspective of life and death, we're not ignorant. Since we have God to comfort us in our grief, and since we know there's eternal life for anyone who might receive Jesus, even at the final moments of their life, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We do not sorrow as those who have no hope. If you're dealing with grief today, or when you deal with grief in your life, I hope you remember these truths. The reality of death. The right to grieve. There's nothing wrong with being sad. Just don't let your sad go bad. And then last of all, the reason for hope. Our hope is in heaven.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.